Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're continuing our UFA series today with another person's UFA priority for the Ravens. I asked people to come up with one player outside the organization they'd like to get signed. Joining us today is Connor Kellerstrass. Connor, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Glad to be on.
You're a veteran of the show. You're also a veteran of the position we're going to talk into. I see jerseys for Ed Reed and Kyle Hamilton right behind you. Who's your UFA crush, I should say, for the Ravens?
All right. My UFA crush is safety Julian Blackman. He has played for the Indianapolis Colts since he was drafted in 2020. And I think he'd be a great fit on the back end for the Ravens.
Okay. So he's had a free safety background, and he's played a whole lot of snaps there for Indianapolis. Has missed a little bit of time in his career due to injury earlier on, I believe. But the last couple of years, he's basically played every snap.
Yep. And in 2024, this is the first year where he almost exclusively played deep safety, which made him a more interesting candidate to me than what he was previously playing up through 2023.
Okay. Probably not quite as good this last year as he had been early in his career, particularly that 23 season is fantastic.
Yep.
Let's talk about what need this addresses, though, for the Ravens. Let's start there. And this will actually be very similar to the last show. So, folks, you'll be hearing some of the same things again. But so we just had a show about Andre Sisko
being
somebody's choice. But coming in and replacing two safeties who are gone now. But how would you see the safety position playing out? In particular, where does Kyle Hamilton play this next year?
Well, with the signing of Julian Blackman, obviously this increases the depth at the safety position, but above all, it maximizes Kyle Hamilton near the line of scrimmage. And I think that can do a number of things. Obviously, as you have reiterated on several of your podcasts, that Kyle Hamilton is the ace of trumps when he's near the line of scrimmage. And we can get back to using that. I also think it'll help Roquan Smith. We noticed once Kyle got moved back to free safety, how much better Roquan played because there was competent safety play behind him. I think Julian Blackman can give the Ravens that.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be certainly outstanding if it could happen. The one I have to ask, do you see Ardarius staying on the back end given the year he had? Because he did do some good things in coverage, but had some problems still as a tackler. It's maybe not the ideal position for him.
Yeah. Just based on how much the Ravens showed that they trust Ardarius, I would say this is, we'll get to the AAV later on in the podcast, but the Julian Blackman would come in strictly on nickel dime packages. And in your base packages, it would just be Kyle and Ardarius. Again, this is just based on what we saw in 2024.
Okay. So that's a real clear division of playing time there. Ardarius and Kyle are not challenged for their two potentially both deep roles on non-passing downs or on base defense situations. But if they go to the nickel, then you're thinking it'll be Kyle at slot corner in a lot of those situations.
Yes.
Most all some where are you on the Kyle being covering the slot on those plays?
I would say most, obviously, he's more devastating near the line of scrimmage. I think that this move would also, now there's always a need for corner, but it would lessen the need for outside corner from the fact that you could move Marlon back to outside along with Nate Wiggins in those nickel packages where Kyle's near the line of scrimmage.
Okay, great, great point. So your base, you could just be playing Marlon and Wiggins, and then your nickel, you would still have those guys on the outside with, and it could be, I guess you have multiple choices there. It could be Hamilton, it could be even Ardarius, it could be another nickel guy that they have, but doesn't force you to go out and get another aircraft carrier corner other than for depth to back up those primary outside guys.
Yes, correct.
All right. Now, let's dig down that, because we didn't talk about this in the last show, but Marlon Humphrey had a really good year in the slot. I'm also of the opinion that Marlon Humphrey at some point on his next deal is going to move to safety. Is slot corner a better position for Marlon Humphrey in terms of what he gives the team there?
It's hard for me to answer because we finally got to see Marlon healthy for the entire year. Mm-hmm. I think even if he was on the outside, he would have had another fantastic year. Now, obviously his impact in run defense is great from the slot, and he gives you 90%, or at least this past year, 90% of what Kyle Hamilton can give you. Mm-hmm. But another healthy year from Marlon, I think he's going to be an all pro-ish corner no matter where he plays.
Okay. All right. So that's a very, very positive outlook on Marlon. Are you at all concerned about the corner position getting a little bit older, such that they really need to focus on a not insignificant draft capital contribution at corner?
Yeah. This would, like I stated earlier, Julian Blackman would lessen the need, but you are really counting on, while you may not invest a first or second round draft pick at corner, you're counting on the ascension of TJ Tampa. Mm-hmm. And other players to come in and hopefully step in and earn more playing time. Cause I agree with you that Marlon is maybe 2 to 3 years at most left, at playing outside corner.
Okay. And they have JAD, who will be on his fourth year with the Ravens. Not even a sure thing to make the team by any stretch. But you know, if he does, I don't think the Ravens are going to really want to have him be their third cornerback. That'd be my position.
Yeah, correct. Correct. I would say TJ Tampa, and if we're discussing it, I would like to re-sign Trey White to a small vet contract. Gives you four corners in the room, and then obviously I think of the 11 draft picks, one if not two will go towards cornerbacks.
Okay, love it. And this is we got to get into some different discussion on this one, which I appreciate, but the secondary for the Ravens is so interwoven in terms of how they're going to be, how the pieces fit together. It's a big parking lot puzzle of moving around players who have, you know, some very versatile skill sets.
Yeah. And I think that Zach Orr with another year, you know, he has a year under his belt. And then in year two, like you mentioned, we can have Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, Ardarius Washington. Those are all interchangeable pieces on any given snap that could play from anywhere. You can send a blitz from anywhere. And I'll just refer back to Julian Blackman having a, consistent presence back there on the back end will help disguise everything else in front of him.
Okay. Now the Ravens have also bought in a lot of coaching on the back end too. Obviously Pagano is going to be kind of the leader of the secondary, I believe. I don't know how exactly his relationship with Orr will be, but he's very senior to Orr in terms of his experience with the game. So it may be something where he's very significant impact, or it may be something where he's really brought in to mentor somebody. But the signing that I was interesting to was D'Alessio brought in to coach the safeties.
Yeah, he came from Kansas City. And that's actually where I live. As a Ravens fan, this has not been a fun place to live the last few years. however,
you and the last guy, by the way, both live in Kansas City as Ravens fans, and incredibly similar. You're going to want to listen to that other Andre Cisco.
I'll have to get in. I'll have to get in touch with him. But anyway, I love the move. If you can't beat him, steal from him. was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. Greg Lewis, our wide receivers coach, mm-hmm. also came from Kansas City. I love the move.
Okay. So that money, I have no restrictions on how Bisciotti wants to spend that money, obviously. With cap money, I think people who listen to the show very regularly know my opinion on it in terms of it being directed to the benefit of the season ticket holders, honestly, and not to go on huge roller coaster swings, which I think the Ravens have done in their history very well.
Yep, very much so.
All right, so you're going to have Julian Blackman in, and he's going to be in on most, at least, nickel snaps we're talking about then. So what kind of percentage of total playing time are you talking for?
Well, I don't know off the top of my head what percentage of total snaps the Ravens played, I guess not in base, but I would say 75 to 80% of those snaps that are not in base would be my guess. So I would say quite a bit of playing time.
Okay. All right. So yeah, the Ravens only played 119 total snaps with four or fewer defensive backs. And a lot of the ones where they have 3, 2, or 1 are goal line situations or short yardage situations. And then they had 103 with four. So that still leaves, you know, over 900 snaps that they had to get out of, nickel or dime packages, basically. So I like the loading up on safety. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
50s having extra so that you can play your full variety of packages. So if you want to play quarter, you can do it. And you need to figure out who you're going to take off the field in that situation. But if you want to take off an extra lineman and just have Roquan and three linemen, for example, to get into quarter, something you might do at the end of a half, say, that's a reasonable situation. Or if you just want to leave in four linemen like they did a few years ago, that's a reasonable thing to do. If they were for some reason not happy with what was going on with Roquan in terms of his coverage. But I definitely believe you shouldn't go into a game day with packages that use up to three or even four safeties and not have one more than the minimum you need to run each of those packages.
Yes. And I know, as you've addressed several times, the Ravens also on the defensive line decided to make those very risky decisions all throughout the year. Or not all throughout the year, but for a 4 or 5 week stretch. So
yeah, I hate that. I absolutely hate that. Let's see. In terms of the rest of the roster, Kane and Braid, are they impacted by this signing? Because you're also would talk about spending a draft pick, I assume, at the position as well.
Yeah. And if I were to, I would say one of them would make the roster, one of them wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Based on what I saw in 2024, I think Sanusi Kane showed what he can do on special teams. And I think Bo Braid, the Maryland boy, would probably be the one that gets left out.
Okay. Maybe he hangs around on the practice squad and he's around if they need him. The problem I have with Kane and Braid is they have to be able to prove some sort of defensive value to maintain a roster spot. You can't just be a special teams player, even if you're pretty good at it.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk money. How much are you willing to pony up for Julian Blackman?
Well, I looked at both PFF and SpotTrack, and they were both pretty similar in their projected contracts. PFF listed him at approximately $7 million AAV, and SpotTrack listed him at $8 million AAV. And I think 3 years, $7 million AAV is the highest I would go. I think with the expectation, obviously, it would be communicated to him that he would be playing fewer snaps than what he did in Indianapolis, but he'd be coming to a better team, a championship team. I think that's my top end number.
Okay. He's 26 years old. So a reasonably young free agent, especially after playing 5 years with his first team at Indianapolis. Cisco, by the way, is not yet 25. He's still 24 years old, which is incredible to me. But if you're looking for the years you're going to pay for, that's interesting. One of the things that came up in the last show was that there is a fairly significant glut in the safety market, very similar to last year. In fact, some of the same names like Geno Stone may be in it again. Would you hope for a discount there? And like, if you're making multiple offers, let's say, to safeties, where are you starting it for a player like Blackmon in terms of how you try and get him signed?
Ooh. See, because in my opinion, I think he's going to be in the second or third wave of free agency. And so you're looking at maybe you start with 5 to 6 million AAV and see what else he gets that's out there. I do think that the Ravens are hopefully, they have already, but they'll benefit more from the Lamar Jackson effect of, hey, I want to come play for this team. So maybe you don't have to start at 7. But I don't think that he's going to be, I would say third wave of free agency is when we would sign Julian Blackmon.
Okay. So third wave, you'd be talking about after, I don't know how you're defining it, but after the draft, so he doesn't impact the comp formula.
Probably third. Yeah, that's probably third wave. Because first is obviously not, but second wave is your cheaper contracts right before the draft. Okay. So yeah.
I mean, obviously not giving up comp pick is always important. And a contract like that, if you're talking about 2 or 3 years for that kind of money, will cost you probably a sixth round pick. In net. So if the Ravens are going to get 4 compensatory selections, and I'm sure they'd like to keep that train going, they probably are going to want to sign a player like Blackmon later. I think there's a lot of options at safety. I think that's one of the things that drags out this market longer and gives them a chance to sign somebody they like late. I don't know how you feel about this, Connor, but I didn't really anticipate how much opportunity cost would be lost with Eddie Jackson, that it was such a cheap contract, even though he'd been really bad the last 4 years in aggregate with the Bears. I thought, okay, maybe the Ravens know something, maybe they'll figure it out. And it's a cheap contract, so there's not a lot of risk. The risk to the Ravens came in having the inert material on the roster where he couldn't help the team. And yet he was taking up a roster spot and they were loath to cut him for a good long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Marcus Williams falls in the same boat. I know you guys have discussed it a lot on this podcast. The downfall of Marcus Williams is something I hope we get an explanation someday on it. It was pretty wild to me. So are you suggesting now, because when you asked that question, that maybe not signing someone long term, so that like is 3 years too long?
So if they have the benefit of signing after the draft, I think the first question you ask is who did you draft? And if they drafted a guy in the second round, say at free safety, they're going to be looking to play him pretty quickly. Whoever they sign will be a more of a temporary stopgap. And then I think one year is fine. I think, you know, find the vet men guy you like best to come in and play that role. And you trust best to play the back end. That the skill set is rarer than I'm giving it credit for. The actual ability to play the back end well is a rarer skill set. There's many more strong safeties than there are free safeties that are trying to play this game. But I would try and do that. So it really depends upon their development needs. And I think that really, if I would not go early at safety. I'd pay a couple bucks if I had to, but I wouldn't go early at safety just because I think they need to address it in the draft with a true free safety candidate.
Yes. And getting ready for draft season, I'm of the opinion that offensive tackle will be looked at early. I'm also of the opinion that we need another edge rusher between, mm-hmm. you know, David Ojabo possibly not making the roster, OA entering his fifth year option. And I hope that I don't want the mold to necessarily be Tavius Robinson. Sorry, this is off topic a little bit, but I would like a pocket compressor mm-hmm. on the edge. That was something that just watching, and I know we can't model after the Eagles and, you know, whatever. After watching the Super Bowl, both edges were compressing the pocket so much. They weren't winning with speed around the edge. They were compressing the pocket on Patrick Mahomes and just finding guys that are able to do that. And I think that Tavius Robinson is a guy on the roster that I think we will watch him shine a lot next year because he is strong and powerful and he's able to do that. Anyway, so now if offensive tackle and edge are two of your first three picks, are we pigeonholed into another safety pick? Hopefully you find a guy that can play the back end. We need a corner in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're running out of early draft capital for positions of need. And so hopefully, obviously, one of them we can address in free agency.
Very, very good point. Sometimes it's actually good to have a lot of needs going into the draft because other teams don't know who you need to pick. But I completely agree. It's not ideal to have a lot of needs either. And you didn't mention defensive line here, but if Michael Pierce is actually retiring, that becomes a big need immediately to get another big body there. And they're not always easy to find late. Especially guys who can move at all or do what you want them to, they seem to be kind of somewhat harder to find late. And the Ravens have, that said, this great record of finding UDFA guys like Michael Pierce that could overcome that. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. Connor, great stuff here. Really appreciate the amount of effort you obviously went into preparing for the show. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, I'm always available on Twitter. I'm at C Kellerstross, and that's C K E L L E R S T R A S S. And I'm always looking to talk some Ravens football.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you want to get in the series, it's not too late. Hit me up with a DM on Twitter. Tell me who the guy you would advocate for as being the Ravens' one outside guy. You can only have one guy, and who's the one outside guy you want to sign? Connor, thanks again for coming on. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.